Chapter 51. I am not his wife, came from Sue. The unexpectedness of her words struck Jude silent.
Oh, I beg your pardon, I'm sure, said Arabella.
Thought you were. Jude had known from the quality of Sue's tone that her new, untranscendental views lurked in her words, but all except their obvious meaning was, naturally, missed by Arabella. The latter, after evincing that she was struck by Sue's avowal, recovered herself, and went on to talk with placid bluntness about her boy, for whom, though in his lifetime she had shown no care at all, she now exhibited a ceremonial mournfulness that was apparently sustaining to the conscience. She alluded to the past, and in making some remark appealed again to Sue. There was no answer. Sue had invisibly left the room. She said she was not your wife? Resumed Arabella in another voice. Why should she do that?
I cannot inform you, said Jude shortly.
She is, isn't she? She once told me so. I don't criticize what she says.
Ah, I see. Well, my time is up. I am staying here tonight, and thought I could do no less than call, after our mutual affliction.
I am sleeping at the place where I used to be barmaid, and tomorrow I go back to Alfredston. Father has come home again, and I am living with him.
He has returned from Australia? Said Jude with languid curiosity.
Yes. Couldn't get on there. Had a rough time of it. Mother died of dies, what do you call it, in the hot weather, and father and two of the young ones have just got back. He has got a cottage near the old place, and for the present I am keeping house for him.
Jude's former wife had maintained a stereotype manner of strict good breeding even now that Sue was gone, and limited her stay to a number of minutes that should accord with the highest respectability. When S.E. had departed, Jude, much relieved, went to the stairs and called Sue, feeling anxious as to what had become of her. There was no answer, and the carpenter who kept the lodging said S.E. had not come in. Jude was puzzled, and became quite alarmed at her absence, for the hour was growing late. The carpenter called his wife, who conjectured that Sue might have gone to St. Silas's Church, as she often went there.
Surely not at this time o' night, said Jude.
Tea is shut.
She knows somebody who keeps the key, and S.E. has it whenever she wants it.
How long has she been going on with this?
Oh, some few weeks, I think.
Jude went vaguely in the direction of the church, which he had never once approached, since he lived out that way years before, when his young opinions were more mystical than they were now. The spot was deserted, but the door was certainly unfastened. He lifted the latch without noise, and pushing to the door behind him, stood absolutely still inside. The prevalent silence seemed to contain a faint sound, explicable as a breathing, or a sobbing, which came from the other end of the building. The floor cloth deadened his footsteps as he moved in that direction through the obscurity, which was broken only by the faintest reflected nightlight from without. High overhead, above the chancel steps, Jude could discern a huge, solidly constructed Latin cross as large, probably, as the original it was designed to commemorate. It seemed to be suspended in the air by invisible wires. It was set with large jewels, which faintly glimmered in some weak ray caught from outside, as the cross swayed to and fro in a silent, and scarcely perceptible motion. Underneath, upon the floor, lay what appeared to be a heap of black clothes, and from this was repeated the sobbing that he had heard before. It was his Sue's form, prostrate on the paving.
Sue, he whispered.
Something white disclosed itself, as he had turned up her face.
What do you want with me here, Jude?
She said almost sharply.
You shouldn't come.
I wanted to be alone.
Why did you intrude here?
How can you ask? He retorted in quick reproach, for his full heart was wounded to its center at this attitude of hers towards him.
Why do I come? Who has a right to come, I should like to know, if I have not?
I, who love you better than my own self, better, far better than you have loved me.
What made you leave me to come here alone?
Don't criticize me, Jude, I can't bear it. I have often told you so. You must take me as I am. I am a wretch broken by my distractions. I couldn't bear it. When Arabella came, I felt so utterly miserable I had to come away. She seems to be your wife still, and Richard to be my husband. But they are nothing to us. Yes, dear friend, they are. I see marriage differently now. My babies have been taken from me to show me this. Arabella's child killing mine was a judgment, the right slaying the wrong. What shall I do? I am such a vile creature, too worthless to mix with ordinary human beings. This is terrible, said Jude, verging on tears. It is monstrous and unnatural for you to be so remorseful, when you have done no wrong. Ah, you don't know my badness, he returned vehemently. Do. Every atom and dreg of it. You make me hate Christianity, or mysticism, or sacerdotalism, or whatever it may be called, if it's that which has caused this deterioration in you. That a woman poet, a woman seer, a woman whose soul shone like a diamond whom all the wise of the world would have been proud of, if they could have known you should degrade herself like this. I am glad I had nothing to do with divinity, damn glad, if it's going to ruin you in this way. You are angry, Jude, and unkind to me, and don't see how things are. Then come along home with me, dearest, and perhaps I shall. I am overburdened and you two are unhinged just now. He put his arm round her and lifted her, but though she came, she preferred to walk without his support. I don't dislike you, Jude, she said in a sweet and imploring voice. I love you as much as ever. Only I ought not to love you anymore. Oh, I must not anymore. I can't own it. But I have made up my mind that I am not your wife. I belong to him, I sacramentally joined myself to him for life. Nothing can alter it. But surely we are man and wife, if ever two people were in this world. Nature's own marriage it is, unquestionably. But not heaven's. Another was made for me there, and ratified eternally in the church at Melchester. Sue, affliction has brought you to this unreasonable state. After converting me to your views on so many things, to find you suddenly turn to the right about like this for no reason whatever, confounding all you have formerly said through sentiment merely. You root out of me what little affection and reverence I had left in me for the church as an old acquaintance. What I can't understand in you is your extraordinary blindness now to your old logic. Is it peculiar to you, or is it common to women? Is a woman a thinking unit at all, or a fraction always wanting its integer? How you argued that marriage was only a clumsy contract, which it is, how you showed all the objections to it, all the absurdities. If two and two made four, when we were happy together, surely they make four now? I can't understand it, I repeat. Ah, dear Jude, that's because you are like a totally deaf man observing people listening to music. You say, what are they regarding? Nothing is there. ... but something is. That is a hard saying from you, and not a true parallel. You threw off old husks of prejudices, and taught me to do it, and now you go back upon yourself. I confess I am utterly stultified in my estimate of you. Dear friend, my only friend, don't be hard with me. I can't help, being as I am convinced I am right that I see the light at last. But oh, how to profit by it. They walked along a few more steps till they were outside the building and she had returned the key. And this be the girl, said Jude when she came back, feeling a slight renewal of elasticity now that he was in the open street. Can this be the girl who brought the pagan deities into this most Christian city, who mimicked Miss Fontover when she crushed them with her heel? Quoted Gibbon, and Shelley, and Mill? Where are dear Apollo, and dear Venus now? Oh, don't be so cruel to me, Jude, and I so unhappy, she sobbed. Can't bear it. I was in error, I cannot reason with you. I was wrong, proud in my own conceit. Arabella's coming was the finish. Don't satirize me. It cuts like a knife. He flung his arms round her, and kissed her passionately there in the silent street, before she could hinder him. They went until they came to a little coffee house. "J. Jude," she said with suppressed tears, "would you mind getting a lodging here?"
"I will if you really wish. But do you?
Let me go to our door and understand you." He went and conducted her in. She said she wanted no supper, and went in the dark upstairs, and struck a light. Turning, she found that Jude had followed her, and was standing at the chamber door. She went to him, put her hand in his, and said, "Good night."
"But Sue, don't we live here? You said you would do as I wished."
"Yes. Very well, perhaps it was wrong of me to argue distastefully as I have done. Perhaps as we couldn't conscientiously marry at first in the old-fashioned way, we ought to have parted. Perhaps the world is not illuminated enough for such experiments as ours. Who were we, to think we could act as pioneers?
I am so glad you see that much, at any rate. I never deliberately meant to do as I did. I slipped into my false position through jealousy and agitation.
But surely through love you loved me?"
"Yes.
But I wanted to let it stop there, and go on always as mere lovers, but people in love couldn't live forever like that.
Women could.
Men can't, because they won't. An average woman is in this superior to an average man, that she never instigates, only responds. We ought to have lived in mental communion, and no more. I was the unhappy cause of the change, as I have said before.
Well, as you will.
But human nature can't help being itself.
Oh yes, that's just what it has to learn, self-mastery.
I repeat, if either were to blame, it was not you but I.
No, it was one.
Your wickedness was only the natural man's desire to possess the woman. Mine was not the reciprocal wish till envy stimulated me to oust Arabella. I had thought I ought in charity to let you approach me, that it was damnably selfish to torture you as I did my other friend. But I shouldn't have given way if you hadn't broken me down by making me fear you would go back to her. But don't let us say any more about it.
Jude, will you leave me to myself now?
Yes. But Sue, my wife, as you are.
He burst out. My old reproach to you was, after all, a true one.
You have never loved me as I love you, never, never. Yours is not a passionate heart, your heart does not burn in a flame. You are, upon the whole, a sort of fae, or sprite, not a woman.
At first I did not love you, Jude, that I own.
When I first knew you, I merely wanted you to love me. I did not exactly flirt with you, but that inborn craving which undermines some women's morals almost more than unbridled passion, the craving to attract and captivate, regardless of the injury it may do the man, was in me, and when I found I had caught you, I was frightened. And then I don't know how it was I couldn't bear to let you go, possibly to Arabella again, and so I got to love you, Jude. But you see, however fondly it ended, it began in the selfish and cruel wish to make your heart ache for me without letting mine ache for you.
And now you add to your cruelty by leaving me.
Ah yes. The further I flounder, the more harm I do.
Oh Sue, said he with a sudden sense of his own danger.
Do not do an immoral thing for moral reasons. You have been my social salvation. Stay with me for humanity's sake. You know what a weak fellow I am.
My two archenemies, you know my weakness for womankind, and my impulse to strong liquor.
Don't abandon me to them, Sue, to save your own soul only.
They have been kept entirely at a distance since you became my guardian angel.
Since I have had you, I have been able to go into any temptations of the sort, without risk.
Isn't my safety worth a little sacrifice of dogmatic principle?
I am in terror lest, if you leave me, it will be with me another case of the pig that was washed turning back to his wallowing in the mire.
Sue burst out weeping.
H, but you must not, Jude.
You won't.
I'll pray for you night and day.
Well, never mind.
Don't grieve, said Jude generously.
I did suffer, God knows, about you at that time, and now I suffer again.
But perhaps not so much as you. The woman mostly gets the worst of it in the long run. She does. Unless she is absolutely worthless and contemptible. And this one is not that, anyhow. Sue drew a nervous breath or two. He is, I fear, Now, June, good night, please. I mustn't stay? Not just once more? As it has been so many times? Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.